As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
I'm a Southern Bet at the World Cup.
Oh my God, you guys, I'm at the fucking World Cup. This is awesome. This is totally awesome. Soccer.
My great-great-grandpa is 3% Irish.
I'm like half Irish.
I'm 10% Irish!
Katie McCabe is like the LeBron James of soccer.
LeBron will be the best soccer player on earth.
LeBron James is gonna be great at soccer. I'm from Tennessee. You're the only Ten I see.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, August 1st. 2023. Yeah, it's August. I'm J.E. Skeets, back in the Classic Factory after a little trip to the motherland. And alongside me is my top shot hot boy, the bearded one, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! Over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is. And here we are. As you can see, no task today. He's on a little family getaway to Tennessee. Love to hear those Irish people say Tennessee.
Tennessee.
Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. We just hit 82,000 subs. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Comment away. Get your No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Hoodies, tees, tanks, hats, mugs, all that good stuff. And make sure you check out yesterday's Is This Good podcast. It is up in the Is This Good feed on YouTube and wherever you download and listen to podcasts. And we also have it in the No Dunks feed because it's the summer of No Dunks on ITG. And Trey Kirby was this week's guest with Matty O and JD. I've listened to about half of it. I was laughing out loud at the story Matt told about being self-conscious about his body when he was younger, getting into the pool. So he would jump into the pool with his shirt on and then say, oops, I forgot to take off my shirt. And you called him out on that. Like, no way that works. So why don't you take off your shirt now? Now I don't want to get burned.
That's wet.
Yeah, it's wet. I might as well just keep it on. But a great start to this ITG. It sounded like you guys had fun.
Oh, we definitely had fun. I had some regrets, though.
Uh-oh.
I forgot to mention to Matt that occasionally this summer I've started playing skins on the basketball court.
Oh, really? Mm.
It's hot here. Yo, it's hot here in Georgia. It gets very humid in some of these gyms we play in. And my nipples are just getting shredded, man.
Ooh.
So eventually, like, the Body Glide wears off. I just gotta go skins. Nobody knows how to guard you when you're playing skins these days. They're like, that's a slick fella coming through the lane.
I remember when we used to play way back in the day in Toronto in those hot gyms. And it was an advantage for some of those guys to go topless because nobody wanted to guard them.
Yeah.
You remember you'd put your arm up against them in the pole, you just like go sliding all over.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So bring it back, I say though. It's hot enough for it.
Now's the time. At least through August, you can go skins. No problem.
All right. Well, go check out that Is This Good podcast. We love that. And I guess TASS will be up next at some point, though I'm hearing some rumblings of a very special guest.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers
JD,
crossed. Don't jinx it. Don't jinx
that
it.
That might make his way to Is This Good.
Yeah.
And if it is to happen, it might. I'm calling it now. It'll be the greatest episode ever.
I think it might be right.
Yeah,
like, for us, I don't know how many people know. Like this is a person of legend and lore in this
yes,
show.
Yes.
But Yeah. I don't know how many people actually know who he is. So we'll see.
We'll see. Okay. I don't want to jinx it. All right. We got some things to talk about. Look, it's quiet out there in the NBA world. We have a little fun up-down report later because there's some jerseys we can throw some thumbs on. There's a new FIBA LED court we can debate and a few other minor things. But we have, I guess, some news. It's a stretch to call it news.
Yeah, we're scraping here.
This happened, I guess, late last week, right? The NBA sent a memo to all the teams on Damian Lillard's trade request. And the memo said the league had interviewed Dame and his agent, Aaron Goodwin, following ESPN's reporting last month that Goodwin had called other teams and warned them against trading for Lillard because he would be unhappy anywhere but Miami. So let me quote a little part of the memo here. Quote, Goodwin denied stating or indicating to any team that Lillard would refuse to play for them. Goodwin and Lillard affirmed to us that Lillard would fully perform the services called for under his player contract in any trade scenario. The relevant teams provided descriptions of their communications with Goodwin that were mostly, though not entirely, consistent with Goodwin's statements to us. But the point of this was, Trey, hey, cut this shit out, all right? Or at least don't make it public. And you can't just go saying, hey, I only want to go to this team. But do you have any other thoughts on this?
Our schedule's been a little irregular here in the summer. So I've kind of lost track of what day it is sometimes, which is how I didn't realize that this was a Friday afternoon news dump when this happened. Because this is really nothing, but it seemed a little bit like a story because we've got nothing else. And maybe that's what it was. Adam Silver and the rest of the NBA saying, hey, Dame, if you're saying you're only going to one team, we got no slop to carry us through July and August. What are we supposed to do now? But really, this reads to me more so about the way Damian Lillard's agent and agents in general are going to handle this, because Dame hasn't talked yet. We still haven't really heard from Dame since the trade request has been made, and this is probably why he didn't want to make it public in the first place, because now there's a lot of media infighting back and forth between Dame's camp and the Blazers camp. Right. So he's also the first trade requester after the new CBA is coming into play, so I think that's a little bit of it, since there's now bigger fines allowed for trade request stuff. But basically, they're saying, hey, man, at least be honest here and tell people you're going to play for him. You know, the Damian Lillard's agent, Aaron Goodwin, is going out and saying he's not going to play for these other teams. He's not going to be happy if you trade for him, but mostly, though not entirely, saying the opposite behind closed doors. They just want this to appear on the up and up, I think, and they don't want similar things to happen going forward.
You can really get into the weeds with this stuff, right? Especially when there's nothing else going on, because a lot of people are doing the whole deep dive on, well, Woj of ESPN, he doesn't have a great relationship with Damian Lillard's agent, Aaron Goodwin. That's like the one guy Woj can't get the info from over the last decade or so. So thus, he feels a little more boldly maybe in his reporting and being a little more loosey-goosey of like saying like, yeah, well, he's not going to play anywhere but Miami. You know what I mean? Maybe he wouldn't do that for some of the other agents, some of the other players, some of the other teams that he's more connected with. This is what people start doing, right? They start dissecting it here. But to me, the only reason you get memos like this from the league is other owners were complaining. That's it.
Yeah.
That's who Adam Silver and the league is obviously representing. So if there are other owners saying, what? We can't be doing this, or this is bad for my team or bad for the league or whatever, and there's enough vocal other owners saying it, then that's why you get a memo like this. And it's just a, hey, you can say trade me to a contender. You can't say trade me to team X. But this isn't new.
Yeah.
I mean, this has happened with other players, but maybe just not this publicly, I guess, at this point.
And I think that's exactly it is. The combination of it being public and Lillard having so much time left on his contract and him being kind of like the poster child for the past 5 years of being loyal to one franchise, I think all of that comes in together to where it's like you're going to one team and you're not even going to get the best offer from them because you've said you're going to one team. It feels a little bit like the league putting the pressure on the Heat to actually make a good offer and maybe encourage some other teams to sort of take a chance like the Raptors did with Kawhi Leonard once upon a time. So I don't know. This definitely encourages Joe Cronin to dig in, I think, and be like, the league basically has our back here saying you can take your time on this. And that's what's likely going to happen. But They don't want to have trade requests dominating the NBA every single summer. It happened last summer with Kevin Durant. It happened again now. It happened during the trade deadline, and it'll happen probably at another trade deadline, especially if Lillard goes forward. So they're kind of just saying, if you make a trade request, do it privately and have more than one team on your list.
Yeah, I think that's it. I also think this is going to happen this week, that Damian Lillard gets traded. I'm calling my shot here, and here's why. Well, first off, it's the middle of summer. Some of us, yeah, dipping out for a quick vacation. Task on today. I know you're headed to the cottage there soon, do a little fishing. Like, it'll happen when we don't want it to happen. That's Murphy's Law. So, you know, the schedule is going to be funny here for us, so it'll probably go down. But the other reason is, I believe Heat rookie Jaime Jaquez Jr. is now eligible to be traded. Because remember, you know, the rookie signed, I believe, right around the same time Damian Lillard requested the trade, but you can't be traded for 30 days after actually signing on the dotted line. I think he's now eligible. I believe it's August 1st. It may have been even yesterday, July 31st. So if he is to be included in this hypothetical trade, which I would be demanding if I'm the Blazers, that he's coming back. And we saw him obviously in summer league a little bit, looks solid. Then maybe now it could actually happen. The holdup, of course, though, is the whole Tyler Hero part of it. And is he going to the Blazers? Is he being rerouted to the third team? And what happens there? But put me down for Damian Lillard, JD. I know you don't want to hear it. Gets traded this week. It's been a month since the trade request. It also feels like 10 months. But
a lot's happened.
It has been a month since he officially requested the trade. But yeah.
I think you're right. It's going to be me and you breaking it down.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's fine. We'll get through it. Yeah. But I can see it now. I hope they time it for a nice Thursday. And then the boys are all back, Thursday, I believe, by Friday. And we do the drop podcast. Yeah. I mean, that'd
be perfect.
That would be great. I think Shams, was it yesterday on maybe the rally, is it? Sort of reiterating, I guess. I don't think it was really new news. But he was saying the package that the Heat were offering was 3 to 4 first-round picks, second-round picks, pick swaps. So, you know, a decent haul, and then who knows what the players are. Obviously, we think Tyler Hero. Is it Jaquez Jr.? What else is there? There's got to be some contracts to make it work, but that's really nothing. That's what we all thought,
yeah.
I think. We were just waiting on whether they could get another first-round pick in sort of from the Thunder, which they would have to, like, modify a little bit.
Yeah, and I don't know. It just feels like maybe the Heat are going to finally be making their offer between the Jaquez and the memo. You're finally coming with the offer, and now it's being spun as, oh, you're getting 4 or 5 first-round picks, because swaps are included. You know, you can definitely move up with a swap, so it's a nice little bit of semantics there. But we've been asking on our Twitter account, you think Damian Lillard's going to be traded this week? Last week, week of July 24th, 90% of people said no way. But this week, Skeets, 87% of people say no.
Oh, yeah.
More confidence that he's going to be traded this week.
A little bit more.
Yeah.
A little bit more. But now I've made my bold declaration, too. So maybe people will jump on. We'll see. It's going down this week. Clip it, Jerome, right now. Damian Lillard is traded in the first week of August. Let's go. All right, moving on. ESPN, guys, they're doing some things here. They're hiring Doc Rivers to be in the broadcast booth. They're laying off Mark Jackson, and that is now official. I know it was a report there for a little bit, but Mark Jackson has confirmed it in, I believe, an Instagram statement. Jackson's on Instagram.
I mean, who is it?
I guess, yeah. His team is on Instagram. And ESPN is also promoting Doris Burke. So, yes, Doc in, Doris Burke up, Mark Jackson. Mama, there goes that man. I'm the first person to say it, no doubt. Thoughts on all of this here, TK?
Okay, Doc Rivers. I remember liking Doc Rivers on the call. It was 20 years ago, though. Right. I mean, who knows what it's like. His voice is going to be crazy to hear on a regular basis.
Yep.
Talking. I imagine it won't be quite as hoarse because he won't have to be screaming the whole time.
You wouldn't think so.
But yeah, 20 years off, probably be a little bit of rust. Obviously, he and Doris haven't worked together yet, so they'll take a little time to build the chemistry, but not only is he a former player, which I think is something that a lot of broadcasts benefit from, he also has been in the league doing stuff at the highest levels for the past 20 seasons, so he's got a real intimate knowledge of it. I don't know if it's similar to when Tony Romo went from quarterback into calling games right away, but that worked out well, so I think Doc will be good. Doris, everybody loves. She brings a ton of enthusiasm. She brings a ton of knowledge. I feel sometimes maybe she's a little too positive, but that's definitely a change-up from the Van Gundy-Jackson era. This seems like it will be a we-love-basketball kind of broadcast more so than it has been.
Do we hate basketball?
Hey, man, I didn't want to say it. Because I've laughed sometimes about Mark Jackson. I just saw somebody retweeted like an old tweet I had of Mark Jackson. Tyler Hero scored a basket. He's like, a hero is more than just a sandwich.
Yes, I do remember that.
We're going to miss that kind of stuff. But yeah, I think Doc and Doris will be a nice first team or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, the A team, I guess, is what they go with. Mark Jackson called the finals with Van Gundy, who is obviously out, and Mike Breen from 2007 to 2011. And then from 2014 to 2023. I had forgotten about that little break there.
He's the Warriors coach.
Exactly. And which is funny because he was in the booth, the finals booth, for all four of the Warriors titles. So he's on the call there. But there are some interesting things in Andrew Marchand's of the New York Post's article on this over the weekend. A couple things here I want to point out. Sources said that ESPN had planned to put Mark Jackson on the network's B team alongside Mark Jones, but that fell apart in due to the hope of getting more game reps for J.J. Redick and Richard Jefferson. So that's of note there.
Yeah.
You know, the idea that you could just put Mark and Mark together, but they're like, no, we'd like to get more reps for J.J. and Richard. Okay. He also wrote, Andrew did, while ESPN could have simply put Burke in for Van Gundy, there was a strong feeling that the combination of Jackson and Doris Burke would not have the same chemistry as Mark Jackson and Van Gundy did. Okay. So they were like a little concerned, I guess, how Jackson and Doris would vibe, which is
yeah, it sounds like it.
Yeah.
I mean, even though people soured certainly on Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy as a duo alongside Mike Breen, there's no doubt they had chemistry.
Yes,
like they've
yes.
known each other for 30, 40 years or whatever it has been. So they've got such a long backstory and have called so many games together that they had a natural pitter-patter between yep. them that at times derailed the broadcast and at times certainly added
yep.
To the broadcast. So, I don't know, maybe they just didn't like the vibes of Doris and Mark Jackson together and didn't also want to split up JJ and RJ because they seem to be ascendant stars a little bit. They've got the social media side of things locked down as well, so I like keeping them together as a little bit more youthful broadcast.
Yep.
So, I think tough for Mark Jackson, certainly, but I think that these seem to be the right pairings.
Yeah, and the final note from Andrew's Post article, ESPN is expected to keep NBA rights in the next round of billion-dollar deals. With ESPN's contract up in 2 years, it does not hurt to please the NBA. And he was writing about this idea that the NBA loves Doris Burke. They previously loved Doc Rivers on the call. Maybe at times had issues with, let's say, Van Gundy and Mark Jackson, especially like calling out officials or the flow of the game or stuff like that. By no means was he reporting like the ESPN or the NBA has said get rid of those two guys, like not at all. But you know, the timing is interesting that it's like this new deal is coming up here. It's going to be $1 billion. You wanna keep the league happy when you're negotiating for these things.
Yeah,
so it doesn't hurt.
And it probably helps having somebody who's gonna, you know, big up the league rather than
say,
here's all the things that are wrong.
That's what I'm saying.
But, you know, people also love hating on the internet, so.
Yeah. And like, I believe none of this, like, really truly matters. Like, sort of, I don't think numbers go up or down depending on who's on the finals call. Okay, I don't believe it at all. I do think, I guess, people sour on people, especially after a certain amount of time. I think that's sort of the toughest thing. Like, you're that voice for a decade. People start to like, oh, I get tired of hearing the same thing. I mean, I'm sure they do it with us, for crying out loud. But you just like who you like.
You just like who you
like. As sports television analysts. And you said most people, I would say Doris does have a pretty universal approval rating.
Yep.
But there are people out there that don't even like her.
That's true.
Right? You know, like, she picks and chooses who she likes at times. It's like, you know, people are going to like who they like. But it's cool to see her, it's definitely cool to see her rewarded for the grind and work she's put in. And again, whether or not you like her on the call, you can at least admit she's always prepared. She always knows her shit.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's like, she's ready for the call. So, you know, that's good too. It's her profession. I know it's a low bar, but sometimes some of them are not. And you can, and it tells. You're like, oh, do they really know?
It's never a question that she's watching basketball when she's not broadcasting. So, yeah, it's really cool that she's going to be getting the number one chair. Really
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so there you go. So it will be, in theory, it will be Breen, it'll be Doris Burke, and it'll be Doc Rivers. And we'll see, yeah, what that chemistry is like. Final piece of news here. Oh, boy. Garrett Temple has agreed to a 1-year $3.2 million deal with the Toronto Raptors. Now, this is the tiniest of slop. This is a tiny kernel of corn that Mo Verney would eat at a theater.
Just a single kernel.
A single kernel in the slop. But do you have any thoughts?
Disgusting.
Well, that's what it is. That's what you feed these things. That's what you feed us. So chomp away on this kernel of corn here. Temple, Raptors.
Yeah, just let me gnaw on this kernel here. I don't got a lot of takes. Will Liu had the best take. The Raptors now have all the Bulls vets from 2020. 31-41 team. They have Thad Young, played on the Bulls back then, Otto Porter Jr., and now Garrett Temple.
Interesting.
Who's next? Daniel Tice or Tomas Satoransky?
Oh, Satoransky. Okay.
Well, he's a ball mover.
Honestly, probably no one's next, because the one note I have from this Temple signing, he's a locker room guy. He's a vet. This is why you do this stuff. It's not like he's going to play.
Not a lot.
What did he play last year for the Pelicans? Like 2 minutes per game?
I think he averaged 2 points per game.
Oh, so. 2 points per game. Okay,
I don't know how many minutes. It couldn't have been a ton.
Okay, not a ton, but he's a locker room guy, which is sort of funny because you already have a couple of those. But it makes it tough for a guy like Jeff Doughton Jr. to make this Raptors roster now, and he has no guaranteed money on his deal. Or really any other camp invites would be very difficult to make the deal if this is the final Raptors team. Though people have pointed out, maybe there is a trade that opens up more roster spots. And maybe that is a Thad or an Otto Porter Jr. I mean, I feel like these Siakam rumors have died down. But Temple does take a spot on the roster for someone like Jeff Doughton Jr., who's trying to, like, obviously stick with the team. So that's my only note.
Vet mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to go vet mode. And he seems to be one of the good vets, because I was surprised to see the Raptors will be Garrett Temple's 12th team.
Wow, that's right.
Yeah,
that's
he's only the sixth player in NBA history, or will be only the sixth player in NBA history to play for 12 or more teams. Can you name the other five?
Ish Smith.
Ish Smith, record holder with 13.
Jeff Green.
Jeff Green is at, I believe, 11 right now.
But wouldn't he be now 12 coming up?
Oh, he's going to be a 12 too. Nicely done. Okay. Yes.
But Jim Jackson?
Nice.
Now I'm going to struggle here. Can I get anyone else?
One guy was a number one draft pick with the most default name probably in NBA history.
Like somewhat current?
It's not Ish's brother.
Oh, so it's not Ish's, so something Smith. Joe Smith. Oh,
Joe Smith.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Wow, he played for that many teams.
Yeah, he played for a lot of teams. I'm surprised on that one, too. Then you got a classic 90s name, and you got a nickname if the lead character from Peanuts was more of like a rascal.
What?
I don't know.
Who's the lead character from Peanuts? Snoopy? Charlie Brown.
Yeah. Yeah. But Matt, this guy's a little bit more of a rascal here.
Charlie Rascals.
Okay, Charles Barkley. His nickname is
Chuck. Oh, Chucky Atkins? Chucky Smith, Chucky,
but the lead character from Peanuts,
Chucky Brown,
Chucky Brown. That's a tough one to give a hint.
You're like Lee Ellis with this one.
Okay, well, I got no kind of hints for this one.
Okay,
what if
classic 90s name?
Classic 90s name. What if the character from Frosted Flakes was a huge chunk of
Tony
ice?
Tony Massenburg.
Yes.
Yeah. I knew it was Tony right away.
Tony Massive Iceberg.
Okay. So that's seven guys once Jeff Green joins the club here.
Jeff Green, Garrett Temple, Joe Smith, Jim Jackson, Tony Massenburg, Chucky Brown, and Ish Smith, who has played for 13 NBA teams and got a title on his 13th team.
Wow.
Don't stop, Garrett.
And Jeff got one on his 11th team.
Got his
team.
On his 11th team. Wow. Not bad.
Josh Lewenberg said, very random stat to go along with this. In his 13 NBA seasons, Garrett Temple has played for 11 teams and has had 220 teammates. Third most among active players, trailing only Jeff Green, who had 247 teammates on 11 teams, and Ish Smith, 230 teammates on 13 teams.
Wow.
So Jeff Green actually has the record for most teammates currently.
Nice.
There you go.
I mean, LeBron's got to be probably pretty high on that list as well.
Yeah,
he's played on a lot. I mean, he's played 20 seasons, played on a lot of teams, and he's played on a lot of teams that, like, pulled a huge move at the trade deadline and flipped over five other players or something
Yeah, it's true. Like, some seasons he's played for, like, basically two different squads a couple times in his career. So there it is. Garrett Temple joining the Raps. And that is the slop. But we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to get into the up-down report, and we got a lot of fun questions, so don't go anywhere.
I gotta get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute, but man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch! We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. Do us a favor, hit the like button, make sure you subscribe, and all you podcast listeners, leave your boys a 5-star rating and review. Let's get to the Up-Down Report.
Prepare your thumbies. It's the Up-Down Report.
Yeah, get your thumbs out, thumbs up or down, on the following topics. First one, Heat forward Jimmy Butler is offering fans the chance of a lifetime, but for a small price, and no, I am not talking about his big face coffee. According to Will Manso, Jimmy is hosting his basketball/cheerleading camp later here in August in Fort Lauderdale. The price is $349, but fans also have the opportunity to play Jimmy Butler one-on-one for an additional $699. Additional. All right? It's not an option. You can't go for the $349 one.
Oh, okay.
Or the $699 one. An additional $699 to play Jimmy Butler one-on-one. Are you up or down on spending those big bucks to try and beat Jimmy one-on-one?
Oh, I'm up.
Okay.
I'm up. You gotta try. You simply gotta try. Did a little research. Apparently, it's a game up to two. First and two baskets.
Wow, that's a lot of money for
a quick game. That's a quick game, Skeets. You better hit two jumpers right away. I hope he gives you the ball first.
I think he would.
You would have to.
Yeah, you'd have to imagine for that experience. I also saw that it's only limited, or it is limited, to three players.
I think it's unfortunately sold out at this point.
Oh, so we couldn't even dip into the No Dunks bank account and
well,
send
one of
us.
Well, funny you say that. We couldn't play against Jimmy Butler, but there's a couple of other options.
Okay.
On the sign-up sheet here. You could play against Andre Drummond for $299. Same up to two. You talk about a guy that's hard to guard because he's sweaty.
Yeah,
Andre Drummond. I don't know, $299. That's a deal.
Yeah, that's
if
not
Jimmy's
bad.
$699. Andre Drummond is a multiple-time All-Star. He's an All-NBA player, I believe, as well.
Yes, that's
$299, and then you could also play against Anthony Simons. How much do you think Anthony Simons costs?
I mean, if Andre Drummond's $299 and Jimmy's $699, I feel like he should be in the middle.
Yeah,
I would think he's $499.
$349.
Oh, okay.
$50 more than Andre Drummond, but he's never made an All-Star team.
Well, yes, true. Well, maybe they, I don't know. I don't know their thinking on that one. Maybe, I guess, younger campers will be more familiar with Anthony Simons than maybe Andre Drummond. I'm not so sure about
that. I don't know.
You don't have to be a camper, apparently, right?
Like, no, I think you can buy
just this. Yeah.
Just show up for a game to two.
Has Jimmy found the next big thing here? Like, this is, there's something here. Like, if I was like, you know, we talked about Kemba Walker, like, just going overseas to play basketball, obviously getting paid, play for Monaco, why not, live there, beautiful. But, like, Kemba Walker could set this up over multiple weekends, like, at somewhere. Hey, come play me one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
$1,000.
You mean hustling?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, do that. You know, $1,000 if you beat me. I give you 10, you know, 10K.
10
or
to 1?
Whatever. Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Whatever the odds are.
Very, very white men can't
jump.
So
many people would do this.
Absolutely they would. But yeah, I guess I guess that's sort of what Tracy McGrady is doing, right? Like, I saw Tracy McGrady was doing a media tour. He was showing up on all kinds of podcasts. I'm like, what in the world is this for? He's setting up like a one-on-one basketball league.
Oh, he is setting up a one-on-one league.
I do believe,
yeah, you're
which
right.
I don't know that like random people can enter it, but there definitely would be a market for can I come and play you one-on-one. And man, this is actually pretty affordable. $699 against Jimmy Butler, like a player in his prime. Back in the day, Michael Jordan was charging $15,000 after he was retired. You could play him one-on-one.
Oh, so he was doing this too.
Yeah,
oh.
He did it way back when. He lost one game.
Yeah.
Lost 3-2 to a guy named John Rogers.
I think there's footage. Is there not footage of
there's
this? I think I maybe blogged about this at Ball Don't Lie.
It's sick,
maybe,
man.
Yeah.
He like goes. He hits like a crazy layup on MJ. Hits another crazy layup, but then I think he misses. Jordan hits a couple of jumpers, but then finally
misses.
And he gets the ball back. So John Rogers like drives and throws his shoulder into him, chucks the ball up on the glass, lefty, drops in to beat Jordan. He says he's watched the video a million times.
Oh my God.
I would watch it every morning.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's incredible. And so he paid, in theory, $15,000 to do it.
To Joel, I think, yes, he paid $15,000 to go to that year's, and it was like his third year going.
Wow. Oh, he really was.
Well, he's a big baller style.
Yeah, for sure. Okay.
Well, so, I mean, $699 for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
Compared to $15,000 for Jordan in 2003, 2004.
Okay, let me make the case why you could be down on this. A lot of these camps that these guys do, which is great, as they should, you know, giving back to the community, obviously having kids come out, learn skills, be around, you know, obviously athletes. It's a very cool experience. When I went to basketball camp in Ontario, our player was Jeff Turner. And it was still awesome because I didn't see him miss a shot the entire weekend. So yeah. It was still cool. But Jimmy Butler on a much higher level than Jeff Turner. Anyway, I digress. Point is, you would go to these camps and a lot of times you would get a chance.
Sure.
You've already paid your money. You're at the camp. You know, you get a chance to like, you know, all the kids are sitting around there and, hey, who wants to play me one-on-one, right? It's just like you just sort of do it in the flow of things. It's not like the kid has to pull out his checkbook and write $6.99 handed to him to play. That's my only problem with this. But I love the concept of the parents having a go.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, some of the older kids, I guess. Not maybe the children. But anyway, tell us up or down on spending $6.99 to play one-on-one against Jimmy Butler.
Who do you think you have the best chance of beating in a game to two? Jimmy Butler, Andre Drummond, Anthony Simons.
It's got to be Andre Drummond. I mean, I would think just... I know he's the biggest.
He's huge, man.
But speed, I'm going to actually maybe be able to get around him.
Oh. You maybe. Think you're faster than Andre Drummond?
Yes. Definitely not Simons and Jimmy Butler.
That's true.
I mean, I'm going to have a chance to maybe get around him or at least create some space.
That's true.
Yeah. With your handle. I mean, speed. That's the only thing I got. So I go that. Well, who do you go?
I'm taking Simons.
Oh, you're going to try and... What? How big?
I'm sure he's my size. Yeah, he's smaller for the NBA, but he's going to be stronger and better at jumping than me, but I don't think I'm going around Jimmy Butler, and I don't think I'm going through Andre Drummond.
No, fair. Okay, well, that's a good poll we'll throw up. Who do you like your chances of beating in one-on-one? To a game of two, remember. All right, next one. During the quarterfinals of the Under-19 Women's Basketball World Cup in Madrid, FIBA unveiled a state-of-the-art ASB glass floor. What the hell is that, you ask? It's an LED court. The innovative playing surface is a fully interactive video floor. Has the capability to add player tracking to the floor. It will display live player stats, historical achievements. I thought got a lot of buzz there on the social networks. A lot of people were chiming in on their thoughts on this. What do you think? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Cool. I don't know. I have a hard time deciding if I'm thumbs up or thumbs down. I think I'm thumbs up for looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it for an international competition.
Like, this is cool here. Yeah. Like
showing when
slick.
You score, the way it reacts.
Three-pointer.
I think they should use it maybe in the in-season tournament if they're going to do it in the NBA. They've said we want it to look different.
Yes.
Somehow. So that would be a way they can make it look different, but it's pretty busy. I love wood.
It's busy. I would love to like get out there on it and just like, are they distracted at all? Like the players?
Sure.
Or like, does it take like 5 seconds? And you're like, okay, yeah, it doesn't really have any impact. Because it looks like it would to us, but maybe it doesn't when you're down there. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. I just want to get on
maybe
one.
Basketball players will start playing with like eye black. So they don't have to deal with the glare from
maybe.
Does it grip the same? Like, I would imagine a glass floor feels different.
I think you would have to assume they've done an incredible job to make it as similar as possible to the feeling of a wood block. Did we not come up with this, by the way?
Did we?
I swear to God, I threw this out here like 100%, a decade ago.
100%.
That this is where we were 100%. Going. Yeah. And that this would be very cool. Because like I had the whole idea of like players' shoes lighting up.
Mm-hmm.
That's like 15 years ago, that idea. Yeah. But then we started talking about a floor that could show you the stats and all that. And like, you know, you could get creative where there'd be other lines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah.
100%.
And we were saying the biggest issue is it has to feel like a real exactly. basketball floor.
Yeah.
And I guess the technology is at least close to being there, or maybe there.
Well, they seem to be playing on it.
Yeah.
So
I love
it. It's
going to
be great for like mid-game stuff, not the game itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah, okay.
That kind of stuff. But like a all-star three-point contest be amazing.
It would show, dunk contest. It could show like the ones they've... Oh, that's a great call. Yeah. Dunk contest. Yeah.
The skills competition. I mean, if whatever.
Yeah.
It'll sexy all of that stuff.
Yeah, right, that's a good call. It's a very, very good call. I like it. I'm thumbs up. I mean, it's... I want to get on it. And I never heard anything from it. Did the women like it? Did these under 19 women like it? Like, were they like, it didn't appear like slippery or anything. Like, that's good.
Yeah.
Because they had issues with another floor too long ago with, I guess they had like rain on the floor or something like that. But let us know. FIBA LED court. You like where we're going with this? It's a good call. Well, maybe not Summer League because it's so like low key, but definitely All-Star Weekend. I like the mid-season tournament idea too, just to make it look different. The only problem is we're just going to have a million ads.
Yeah, that's it. I know. I didn't like the part of the update that's like, this will be great for advertisers. So,
this will be too good for advertisers. Yeah, maybe we can get a no-dunks ad out there.
Maybe they'll put a starry four-point circle out there.
Yeah, they could. Extra line.
Yeah.
I mean, well... Like, we watch on the broadcast now, we've always made fun of it. It's like, they take a deep three and, like, the little tracker comes up 27 feet. Yeah. But, like, it would look cool if, like, where the person shot it, it's basically like a video game, right? Where it, like, lit up where it was. That would be pretty neat. All right, let's hear your thoughts on that one, guys. Next one. We got some jerseys to talk about. The New Orleans Pelicans, they're going to have new uniforms next season. The new design for the Statement Edition jerseys features a different neckline, new styled numbers, and replaces Pelicans with Crescent City. Trey, up or down here, we're showing everybody on YouTube these red jerseys. Up or down on the Pelicans Crescent City jerseys?
Well, I was up on these skeets until you said they changed the neckline, and now I'm even more up. I didn't even notice that. I love a U-neck.
Yep.
The Pelicans have been wearing red editions of their jerseys for a few seasons now, so this really just changes and puts Crescent City on it, but it looks cool, and I think their red uniforms are probably my favorite of their uniforms that they wear in general, so I think it looks cool. It means something to the people of New Orleans, and any chance you get to use that, like, I don't know what you would call it, knee bone font?
Mm.
You know, it's got like the, it's got the joint in the middle of the I and the T, that kind of thing. I don't know if it's supposed to evoke a pelican's legs, but it does for me, and I love the look of it. So okay. More on the jersey is fine.
Yeah, they didn't really change too much. You're right. Despite going with the Crescent City instead of the Pelicans, because now they have these reds, which they've had for almost a decade, which just blew my mind. They sort of have a navy blue or a blue, and they have their whites.
Yep.
And that's sort of their color palette. I got no real complaints with these. I'm not like wowed. I guess you'd have to ask the people of New Orleans whether they like the Crescent City on there. Because sometimes they go with these, nickname city jerseys. And sometimes the city or the fans seem to love them. And sometimes they're like, what?
Yeah.
We don't, PDX, I can't
even. Portland loves their airport.
I guess that's true. They love the carpet and all that.
They do.
Did they love those ones? I don't know, though.
I don't know. But I think the Pelicans will do yet another city jersey because these are – Statement, I think, is supposed to be like the alternate one, right? That sticks around for a couple of seasons, and City is the one that's like, we'll throw some carpet on a jersey or whatever. So I don't know what New Orleans has planned for that, but maybe a beignet-themed jersey.
Okay.
We're getting deep into the program of city jerseys. You've got to pull deep for some references at this point.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a cosmic gumbo kind of jersey, perhaps they'll have.
All right, well, speaking of jerseys, let's stick with it. Nick DiPaola, this morning, he delivered the first look at the Phoenix Suns' modernized sunburst unis. They're going to wear these next season. The purple icon there, you see that on Devin Booker, and the white association jersey that Bradley Beal is repping there. pull cues from the team's iconic 1993 finals jerseys. And these will be the Suns' primary uniform. So maybe, JD, if you can go back to the new ones here, the modernized Sunburst. Trey, up or down?
Big time up. I think these are great. The Suns' 93 jerseys are, like, probably top five in league history. I don't think they're quite at that level, but for a modern retro sort of look, I think they look great. Definitely improvement on what the Suns had been wearing. And people love the Sunburst general theme. And the angle of the shorts lines, I think, are really cool. So, yeah, I'm big time up on this. But I do think it's weird that Devin Booker is wearing a T-shirt under his jersey.
I was going to say that, but I almost want him to wear that during the games. I think it looks cool for some reason. I don't know why. I'm, like, all in on that, the white tee under the purple. I like the purple jerseys more than the Suns, versions. It just pops more, and it's more obviously such paying homage to that 93 finals jerseys that we saw Chuck wearing there. But yeah, I think these are pretty good, and I guess we'll see probably a lot of these because they're gonna want to sell all those new KDs and Bookers and now Beal in uniform. So go grab those if you're a fan, but let us know you like those modernized Sunburst unis. JD, any thoughts on the Crescent City Pelicans ones there or these new Suns ones?
I like them both, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, no complaints.
No complaints from me.
Okay, good. Final one here. Slam Ball is back. That's right. It airs on ESPN and everything. I think it's been back for 2 weeks. For those of you too young to know what the heck I'm talking about, Slam Ball came around the late 90s, early 2000s. It was a sport, or is a sport, that combines basketball, football, I guess a little hockey.
Yeah, they say hockey.
Yeah, and gymnastics. It's basically real-life NBA Jam meets NFL Blitz, those old games, and it is back. Have you watched any, and are you up or down on it?
I'm still up. I liked Slam Ball when it was on Spike TV. I was in college. I watched the first weekend quite a bit, probably more Slam Ball than one should watch. But then the messaging wasn't quite as strong for the second weekend. I forgot Slam Ball is back. Yeah. I thought it was a one-week-only opportunity. It's crazy that it's in Cox Pavilion.
Yes.
That's crazy.
They have a 6-week residency there.
Yeah.
Yeah. For the
And it looks completely different.
Yeah.
I mean, they have their own floor they got to worry about, but imagine that with a light-up floor. Even crazier. Yeah, but yeah, I like it. It's the same exact game. Except for now Nate Robinson is on the call reacting to things, and he's excited about stuff, and he's talking about watching back in the day. So yeah, I enjoy Slam Ball. I like watching the highlights. I caught myself reading stats and standings last night.
who's off to a great start?
Well, here's the thing. The Mob is going to win. They haven't lost a game yet. They're clearly the best team on offense and on defense.
Oh, wow.
It's like a Red Bull scenario. They're running away with the title. I think they're 8-0 so far.
8-0.
Yeah, they haven't had a game that's like, I think, within 19 points or something like that.
Holy crap.
Yeah, they're smoking.
They have like the pinstripe red and white, yeah.
I think they were one of the best teams in the first incarnation
back in the day,
of Slam Ball, but they seem to be the only team who's figured out how to run an offense.
Oh, really?
They're like always passing the ball off the back walls to each other. There's guys cutting through the lane at all times. That's like the 2002 Sacramento Kings.
Jeez.
With all this beautiful basketball being played out there. So they're going to probably go undefeated this year, or it'll be a huge upset in the Slam Ball streets if somebody actually takes down the Mob.
Okay.
Well, you're calling Damian Lillard trade? I'm calling an undefeated season for the Mob in Slam Ball.
What if Damian Lillard gets traded to the Mob? That's the next move. An NBA player demand a trade to Slam Ball. See what happens then. I'm up on this, but I haven't watched a game yet this season. But I watched a lot of the highlights, like the top 10. I did a top 10 highlights. I was mildly impressed for the top 10 through the first 2 weeks. There were a couple obviously great dunks, but then some of the highlights were like showing me like a corner three-pointer, and I was like, are you kidding me? This cannot be one of the highlights of the week.
I saw some preseason press that they were, you know, since Slam Ball was on, shooting has increased greatly in the game of basketball.
I get
it. So we're expecting more threes and fours even.
Yeah, there are four-point shots.
So they're taking them, but they ain't making them quite.
Because you can get 3 points on a dunk, right?
Yes.
If you jump off the further tramp, is that?
That must be what it is.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
That must be what it is.
And don't you dare call them trampolines. I did learn that. They call them spring beds or tramps.
Oh.
They don't like trampolines. I think they just, the idea, you just think of gymnastics immediately. Which I don't know why that's a it is a trampoline. I know.
Don't you dare get thinking about gymnastics.
I guess like calling them tramps or spring beds is somehow cooler, but I'd argue it really isn't. But yeah, I think there was a couple big hits though in the top 10 clips I watched. Yeah, I like that. I like that. So I'm up. I'm up on slam ball. We should do a playback. Because these games are live now, right? They used to be back in the day. That was all recorded and packaged like American Gladiator style, but they are live.
Yeah, they are live. I think some on ESPN, some on ESPN Plus, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Tony Crosby II, great player. I think he set the world record for vertical jump, 50-inch vert, and now he's playing off tramps. This guy's insane.
Is he a tiny guy?
He's small.
I saw a clip of him off of the tramp jump up and go between his legs once, between his legs twice, between his legs three times, between his legs the fourth time in the air and dunk it. Yeah, it's him, I think. It's got to be him. It looks
like big Tony heads.
Yeah.
My Tony head. Jamal Burns Jr. This guy's a baller as well.
Really?
Yeah. He scored over 100 points.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's good. I'm just trying to say other guys that don't play for the Mob. I was reading some bios. Where would you guess NBA related that a lot of these players have come from? NBA related? What?
Like G League? Is that what you mean? Like
yes, something like that. But you would see these people at an NBA game, perhaps at a quarter break.
Yeah, they're like part of like the
Rim Rockers.
The Rim Rockers, exactly, like the Milwaukee Bucks Rim Rockers. They all have different names, but those trampoline arsenal, like high-flying arsenals.
I think there's three from the Pacers.
Oh.
That made it to the big leagues, to the real slamming leagues.
I mean, I guess if you did that.
That's the place to scout.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you think I'll get a call up? I look pretty good off the tramp.
You look the best of any of us. Yeah, ain't no doubt about that.
It's a low bar with all of us jumping up.
How many times can you go between the legs?
Probably just once. I think I could get to, well, I don't know. Once. Wait,
you better work on your fours.
Yeah, like, can you take a hit, though? That's the question.
Ooh, I'd get crushed.
I mean, no offense.
No, I'd get crushed in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm slippery in the air. I'm young Derrick Rose style. I can somehow maneuver in the air.
I see you dodge in the air, for sure. I can see that.
All right. Give me a call up. I want to play for the Rumble. Are they still a team?
Let me check.
I do love the names back in the day. Mob, for sure. Rumble. Maybe they got some new ones. How's their website look?
Griffins, Mob, Ozone, Rumble, Lovo, Slashers, Wrath, and Buzzsaw.
Oh, there's some new ones. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Great stuff. All right. Are you thumbs up or thumbs down on Slam Ball? And do you want us to do a playback of us watching it live? Let us know there in the stream team. Let's get, what do you got?
Lava, not Lovo.
Yeah, I was wondering what that was.
The Lovo.
The Lovo.
It's some kind of Las Vegas team or
it
something.
It sounds like a medication. Infomercial. Get some Lovo in you.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic.
All right, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Remix! No tweet of the night. We're doing NBA Reddit thread of the night, because this is a good one. From rpars18, the user on NBA Reddit. The question was, who do you have as the most underrated player in the league? And the post went like this. For years, people have mentioned Drew Holiday as the most underrated player in the league. I think after the Bucks won in 2021, Drew has gotten his credit. Who would you guys have as the most underrated player in the NBA right now? I kind of want to say Trae Young, but I'm interested to see who else is considered underrated. Again, NBA Reddit coming through with this one. Just to give you some of the most popular names there in terms of the thread and the votes they were getting. Wendell Carter Jr. was at the top, had 700 plus votes for like a good pick as an underrated player. Devin Vassell, Jaden McDaniels, Aaron Gordon, Quentin Grimes, Trey Murphy. I saw Steven Adams. Obviously, there's a million other names, but those were some of the ones at the top. Who do you think is the most underrated player in the NBA?
Man, that's tough.
It is very difficult.
I also feel like it's hard for us to answer because Trey Young and Wendell Carter Jr. are two way different kinds of answers.
Yep.
Right? Like, Trey Young is probably underrated at this point in his career because, you know, the sickos have seen how he's come up short on the defensive end. Maybe the chemistry isn't there. We know that the Hawks have run through a couple of coaches in Trae Young's tenure, but he's still like a 30-point-per-game, 10-assist kind of player who doesn't get a lot of respect, and that's the kind of player that would get all-star nods every single season back in the day. But then Wendell Carter Jr. is kind of like the complete opposite side of things. Like, he's not putting up huge numbers.
Nope.
He is like long-term, maybe another Al Horford sort of type, but that's a sicko kind of name if you're going to be saying Wendell Carter Jr. is the most underrated player in the league. When you're living and breathing the NBA life, it's hard to know the proper ratings on people, right? So, I don't know. I think I would almost vote Aaron Gordon, except for he just went to the NBA Finals and won a championship and got a whole bunch of ratings and a whole bunch of respect there. So, I don't know. It's hard.
Aaron Gordon just did what Andrew Wiggins had done previously, where it's like, they come in as a high pick. We have all this expectation. They're sort of on crappy teams. They get their points. They get their numbers, but, you know, they're not really all-stars. And then people turn on them and say, well, you can't be a number one guy. You'll never lead a team. They sort of get forgotten about. They find their way to a team, obviously, with more talent. Then they play their role perfectly, and people start going, oh, hold on. Yeah, this number one pick in Wiggins' case, or what was Aaron Gordon, number three pick or something like that?
Four, I think.
They're good. Yeah, what a surprise. this high prospect is actually really good at basketball, and then they can find their role, and then suddenly you're like, oh, yeah, now they're underrated. It's a weird like cycle for some of those guys. But you are right. It's difficult. Like all those names I listed, I can see why some people would think they're underrated, I guess. But that runs the gamut between an all-star in Trae Young and a guy that a lot of people wouldn't be able to pick out of a lineup in, like, maybe Quentin Grimes.
Yeah. Going through the thread, the one that stuck out to me, number one was Devin Vassell. Like, that is a guy that I think people don't realize. I think he was maybe 18 points per game, something like that. Gets to the mid-range a lot, which maybe isn't great efficiency-wise long-term, but he's got a slick package to get into his mid-range game, and now that he's going to be playing alongside Victor Wembanyama, more eyes will be on him, so that one stuck out to me. And then, like, deeper cuts, Bobby Portis, I guess? I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's gotten a little bit of respect here, too. He's on Team USA this summer for the World Cup, and then obviously won a title with the Bucks as well. Larry Nance Jr.? I don't know. Is he underrated to you?
I mean, no, I don't think he's underrated. Yeah, he seems perfectly rated.
He's rated.
To me.
He's pretty well rated.
People are saying, and this was in the thread as well, where does Markelle Fultz fit into all this?
Not bad.
And that's an interesting one. He could be like, you could see years from now, like a Wiggins or an Aaron Gordon, like where he obviously was a high pick and there was huge expectations and then maybe struggled. I mean, injury came into play with him, but he's gone under the radar here. That's for sure. And he's solidly getting better and better and better. I think he's got a couple more steps to go, and why wouldn't he? He's still young. But I don't mind that one. But, like, right now, to me, he's not, like, I don't think he's vastly underrated, right? I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, I would agree.
Naz Reid, people are saying.
That's a good one.
That's not bad.
Naz Reid's pretty...
he's good.
Is he underrated, though? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Who's the best player you could call underrated? Trae Young's a good one.
Trae Young is good.
Bam Adebayo, maybe. But he's starting to get some accolades,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Showing up in the finals quite a bit.
Well, Trae Young is good because Roberto here in the Stream Team is underrated the same as overhated. That's sort of that's bars right there, to be honest. And there, I see what you're saying. I think, and that's a perfect example of Trae Young. Sort of is that. I mean,
yes,
he has his haters. He obviously has the baggage link to the Luka swap. Obviously, there's that. So he's always having to live up to those expectations, Luka and his all NBAs and all All Stars and all that. So yeah,
overhated. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
I got a new one. Got a new guy who I'll say is pretty underrated.
Who?
Norm Powell.
Okay. I mean, I love Norm Powell.
Yeah.
And he is quite good.
He is quite good. 21 a game, 20 in the 22 season, 17 a game last year. Plays all the time, which you can't say always for those Clippers out there. Norm Powell.
Okay. Some other people are saying Lu Dort. I think had a moment where he was underrated. I'm not so sure he is anymore. Mikal Bridges, you want to talk about
That's a really good player. That's a good one.
People are trying to say the old... you know, Harrison Barnes, Tobias Harris type player.
Yeah, I can see the case.
Sure. And I like Jake's suggestion here. We'll wrap up with this one. Jalen Brunson is probably still underrated.
Yeah.
But that's tough because he's in the New York market now with the Knicks. And you've talked before of like you just play like two games well on the Knicks. Like you're a stud for life.
Yeah, but he played a lot of games for the Knicks. 68, in fact, last year. 68 great games. Didn't make the All-Star team or All-NBA.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
That's not bad.
You're right. I like that pick right there. Good stuff. Good question there on the NBA Reddit. All right, let's call it there, guys. Reminder, go check out Is This Good with Trey Kirby talking to Matty O and JD. That is up in the No Dunks feed or Is This Good, wherever you want to listen to that. Yeah, going to be a funny week here. We're just going to wait to see Damian Lillard get traded. And we'll find out when that happens. Whether he gets traded to the Rumble or the Mob. But we will be back for sure. I mean, we can basically lock in a Friday drop podcast. We do have a No Bunts coming out.
Yeah.
On the Athletic Baseball Show feed. Are we throwing that in the No Dunks feed as well? I think we are.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah. And that's a fun one. Taz talked to our friend, cameraman Larry.
Larry French.
This guy does camera work for a lot of Braves games and has done camera work for basically every sport in existence. And,
yeah.
This conversation, JD, you were a part of, he's got story after story after story.
Story after story. The sports sickos are going to love it.
Yeah. He actually, for you NBA sickos out there, remember the clip of, was it Al Horford's son? Is that confirmed?
It's his brother.
Brother?
His okay. brother. His brother. Thank you.
Yeah.
There's a clip of like a cheerleader handing out candy in the front row of a Hawks game, like out of a basket. And there's a little guy who's quite impressed with the cheerleader, let's say, or the candy, or maybe both, as she goes by. That was Larry on the camera. So that's just a fun little random note. So anyway, stuff like that coming up on No Bunts, which drops tomorrow morning on Wednesday morning. But yeah, otherwise we'll be back when there's news. And if there are no news... or is no news, we'll be back on Friday with a drop. We'll come up with something.
Yeah, we'll come up with something.
We'll hear all your fishing stories. Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I'm going fishing.
Nice.
Yeah.
What are you trying to catch?
A huge bass.
Bass, okay.
Yeah, I mean, I know I'm going to catch some bass. The last time I was at this place, we caught a bunch of little guys, you know, 12 inches probably, so I'd like a big fatty.
And would you keep it?
No.
You never keep
it? I mean, unless it's like, if it's over 10 pounds, I could maybe get like a... get it to hang on a wall. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
But no, I like to throw them back and catch them again later.
Okay, good idea. Yeah. That's smart. Very, very smart. All right, guys.
Hold on a second. Before we get to the quote, do you want a fishing quote or do you want a Pee Wee Herman quote?
Oh, give me a Pee Wee.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks for joining us. Hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe. 5-star rating and reviews. We'll see you later this week. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember...
That's my name. Don't wear it out.
Rest in peace, Pee-wee. Brace the day, people.